Today is the 27th day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is, wow, such a beautiful day. Always a beautiful day here around the global campfire. No matter what's going on in our lives, it's a safe place to be here in fellowship and community with brothers and sisters all over the world who are all, you know, like we're all struggling. We're all facing whatever we are facing. And one step in front of the other. Faithfulness moving one step in front of the other. That's what we're here to do. So grateful that we can be here for the next step forward, which leads us back into the book of Judges. And we're meeting this judge now named Gideon. And a famous story. And all of the places that are described in this story, they are all landmarks. They all actually exist. And so it's a fascinating story. Judges chapter 7, verse 1 through 8, verse 17. Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the troops who were with him got up early and camped beside the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them, below the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many troops for me to hand the Midianites over to them, or else Israel might elevate themselves over me and say, 'I saved myself.' Now announce to the troops, 'Whoever is fearful and trembling may turn back and leave Mount Gilead.' So 22,000 of the troops turned back, but 10,000 remained. Then the Lord said to Gideon, 'There are still too many troops. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. If I say to you, 'This one can go with you,' he can go. But if I say about anyone, 'This one cannot go with you,' he cannot go." So he brought the troops down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, "Separate everyone who laps water with his tongue like a dog. Do the same with everyone who kneels to drink. The number of those who lapped with their hands to their mouths was 300 men, and all the rest of the troops knelt to drink water. The Lord said to Gideon, 'I will deliver you with the 300 men who lapped, and hand the Midianites over to you, but everyone else is to go home.' So Gideon sent all the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 troops who took the provisions and their ram's horns. The camp of Midian was below him in the valley. That night, the Lord said to him, 'Get up and attack the camp, for I have handed it over to you. But if you are afraid to attack the camp, go down with Purah, your servant. Listen to what they say, and then you will be encouraged to attack the camp.' So he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the troops who were in the camp. Now the Midianites, Amalekites, and all the people of the east had settled down in the valley like a swarm of locusts, and their camels were as innumerable as the sand on the seashore. When Gideon arrived, there was a man telling his friend about a dream. He said, 'Listen, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp, struck a tent, and it fell. The loaf turned the tent upside down so that it collapsed.' His friend answered, 'This is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has handed the entire Midianite camp over to him.' When Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship. He returned to Israel's camp and said, 'Get up, for the Lord has handed the Midianite camp over to you.' Then he divided the 300 men into three companies and gave each of the men a ram's horn in one hand and an empty pitcher with a torch inside it in the other hand. "Watch me," he said to them, "and do what I do. When I come to the outpost of the camp, do as I do. When I and everyone with me blow our ram's horns, you are also to blow your ram's horns all around the camp. Then you will say, 'For the Lord and for Gideon.'" Gideon and the 100 men who were with him went to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, after the sentries had been stationed. They blew their ram's horns and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. The three companies blew their ram's horns and shattered their pitchers. They held their torches in their left hands and their ram's horns to blow in their right hands, and they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Each Israelite took his position around the camp, and the entire Midianite army began to run, and they cried out as they fled. When Gideon's men blew their 300 ram's horns, the Lord caused the men in the whole army to turn on each other with their swords. They fled to Acacia House in the direction of Zerera, as far as the border of Ebel Maholah near Tabat. Then the men of Israel were called from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh, and they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim with this message: "Come down to intercept the Midianites and take control of the watercourses ahead of them, as far as Bet Barah and the Jordan." So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they took control of the watercourses as far as Bet Barah and the Jordan. They captured Oreb and Zeb, the two princes of Midian. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb while they were pursuing the Midianites. They brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon across the Jordan. The men of Ephraim said to him, "Why have you done this to us, not calling us when you went to fight against the Midianites?" And they argued with him violently. So he said to them, "What have I done now compared to you? Is not the gleaning of Ephraim better than the grape harvest of Abiezer? God handed over to you Oreb and Zeb, the two princes of Midian. What was I able to do compared to you?" When he said this, their anger against him subsided. Gideon and the 300 men came to the Jordan and crossed it. They were exhausted, but still in pursuit. He said to the men of Sukkot, "Please give some loaves of bread to the troops under my command, because they are exhausted, for I am pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian." But the princes of Sukkot said, "Are Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hands, that we should give bread to your army?" Gideon replied, "Very well. When the Lord has handed Zeba and Zalmunna over to me, I will tear your flesh with thorns and briars from the wilderness." He went from there to Penuel and asked the same thing from them. The men of Penuel answered just as the men of Sukkot had answered. He also told the men of Penuel, "When I return safely, I will tear down this tower." Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and with them was their army of about 15,000 men, who were all those left of the entire army of the people of the east. Those who had been killed were 120,000 armed men. Gideon traveled on the caravan route east of Nobah and Jogbehah and attacked their army while the army felt secure. Zeba and Zalmunna fled, and he pursued them. He captured these two kings of Midian and routed the entire army. Gideon, son of Joash, returned from the battle by the ascent of Horez. He captured a youth from the men of Sukkot and interrogated him. The youth wrote down for him the names of the 77 leaders and elders of Sukkot. He went to the men of Sukkot and said, here are Ziba and Zalmona. You taunted me about them, saying, are Ziba and Zalmona now in your power that we should give bread to your exhausted men? So he took the elders of the city, and he took some thorns and briars from the wilderness, and he disciplined the men of Sukkot with them. He also tore down the tower of Penuel and killed the men of the city. Luke 23:13-43. Pilate called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, you have brought me this man as one who misleads the people, but in fact, after examining him in your presence, I have found no grounds to charge this man with those things you accuse him of. Neither has Herod, because he sent him back to us. Clearly he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore I will have him whipped and then release him. Then they all cried out together, take this man away! Release Barabbas to us! He had been thrown into prison for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate addressed them again, but they kept shouting, crucify! Crucify him! A third time he said to them, why? What has this man done wrong? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him whipped and then release him. But they kept up the pressure, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And their voices won out. So Pilate decided to grant their demand and released the one they were asking for, who had been thrown into prison for rebellion and murder. But he handed Jesus over to their will. As they led him away, they seized Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country, and laid the cross on him to carry behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed him, including women who were mourning and lamenting him. But turning to them, Jesus said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. Look, the days are coming when they will say, blessed are the women without children, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others, criminals, were also led away to be executed with him. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. And they divided his clothes and cast lots. The people stood watching, and even the leaders were scoffing. He saved others. Let him save himself if this is God's Messiah, the Chosen One. The soldiers also mocked him. They came offering him sour wine and said, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. An inscription was above him. This is the King of the Jews. Then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself us. But the other answered, rebuking him, "Don't you even fear God, since you are undergoing the same punishment? We are punished justly, because we're getting back what we deserve for the things we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Psalm 97 and 98. Psalm 97, the majestic king. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coasts and islands be glad. Clouds and total darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness. All the peoples see his glory. All who serve carved images, those who boast in worthless idols, will be put to shame. All the gods must worship him. Zion hears and is glad. Judah's villages rejoice because of your judgments, Lord. For you, Lord, are the Most High over the whole earth. You are exalted above all the gods. You who love the Lord hate evil. He protects the lives of his faithful ones. He rescues them from the power of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous, gladness for the upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Psalm 98. Praise the King. A psalm. Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has performed wonders. His right hand and holy arm have won him victory. The Lord has made his victory known. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen our God's victory. Let the whole earth shout to the Lord. Be jubilant. Shout for joy and sing. Sing to the Lord with the lyre and melodious song, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout triumphantly in the presence of the Lord, our King. Let the sea and all that fills it, the world and all those who live in it, resound. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains shout together for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world righteously and the peoples fairly. Proverbs 14, 7 and 8. stay away from a foolish person. You will gain no knowledge from his speech. The sensible person's wisdom is to consider his way, but the stupidity of fools deceives them. Okay, so in Judges today, Gideon has managed to bring 32,000 people, like men, together to fight. That's impressive. To pull that, like, we're gonna do this. We're gonna go to battle. Like, we could die. We're gonna go to battle. So he pulls these men together, and then counterintuitively, God whittles it down. God invited all who were afraid of the fight before them to leave. If you're scared, if you're afraid, you can go. So 22,000 people are like, okay, I'm out. 10,000 people are left with Gideon. There's a Midianite army described as like a horde of people, like, you know, like a horde, a caravan, like masses of people have invaded the land with camels and donkeys and soldiers, and they're coming in. Gideon's got 10,000 men who have no fear, basically. But that's still too many people. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, God says, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. So eventually this works its way to the point that there are only 300 men left. God had put his people in another impossible situation. Maybe there's like some kind of honest fight with 32,000 warriors, but to take on a like well-fortified army with 300 men, that's like a suicide mission. Not a battle plan for freedom from oppression. But God has other plans. Gideon then takes his 300 men, along with clay pots and ram's horns, and surrounds the enemy camp. They move stealthily in the middle of the night, and then they begin to smash the clay pots, they begin to shout, they begin to blow the ram's horns. They've surrounded this army, so they, like, everybody's waking up in the middle of the night, and it seems like a massive army is coming up down upon them. But there's only 300, and so the Midianites, who are already spooked, begin to panic and attack each other. And so God brings victory and frees his people from Midian's oppression. And this kind of story, this is a theme in the Bible. Like, Gideon's battle illustrates God's tendency to confound conventional understanding by showing his power by doing the unexpected. And this is true in our own lives, but only if we're trusting God breath by breath, moment by moment, move by move, step by step. But we also have to kind of flip over and acknowledge in Luke's gospel that, you know, we read the bitter, heart-wrenching details of the crucifixion of Jesus again, and just watch the interplay of it all, just little nuances as we pass through this story. Things like the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, and Herod Antipas, the actual king of the Jews, and how Jesus is kind of like this hot potato, and you know, he's under Herod's jurisdiction, so Pilate sends him to Herod. Herod has killed John the Baptist and ends up sending him back to Pilate in a royal robe. And Luke tells us that, like, that incident made them friends. They had been enemies before that. It's an interesting kind of very dark comedy going on here. Pilate knows that the Jews are jealous and want Jesus done away with in a public way, and that this is not actual justice. I'm sort of trying to embellish these accusations against Jesus that he's claiming to be like king, like over Caesar, equal to Caesar, and this is a crime against the empire. He needs to be killed. He's claiming to be the king of the Jews. And so Pilate's like, well, let's send him to the king of the Jews and see if which one of them is the king of the Jews. So sending Jesus back, you know, beaten up and spit on in a royal robe, tells Pilate, okay, well, here's your king of the Jews. And it's just all at Jesus' expense. And we take this time then to ponder. This is the horrible price of sin, our sin, all the nuances and the entanglements. And then this overwhelming love of God for each of us. So Gideon has a battle, and counterintuitively wins this battle. Jesus also has a battle on behalf of humanity, and nobody understood what was happening until the battle was won. For us to navigate the counterintuitive nature of our own lives, we need an anchor, something that we can trust, something that is that is unshakable. And so that is our reach and our connection to God, that this is available, that this came at a supreme cost, which makes us invaluable, and the ways in which we completely ignore. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into everything, every word, every thought, every choice, every action, every repercussion, good or bad, the consequences of the decisions that we make. That you will lead us, guide us, help us, mature us, and as we continue to pay attention, improve us. Like, we'll get better and better on this path towards a life of peace and repair. And we can see that healing and repair are a bit counterintuitive. They do not happen in a straight line, but they do happen. And that can be the nature of things sometimes. And we see that in the scriptures today. So as we contemplate this, we invite you to plant it deep in the soil of our lives. And yeah, may it yield fruit for your kingdom, fruit of your spirit. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is also home base. And man, today is the day that we have been speaking of for years. Today is this kind of switchover, migration day that has taken years of preparation and development. And we're moving in to a brand new place, brand new platform, brand new app, brand new look, brand new feel, brand new features, brand new store, brand new shop, brand new everything in the shop. So it's kind of all things new day, and we're migrating. So this is that day. So some of you are going to be in the middle of exploring the new app. Some of you are going to be wondering where you can update all of this. Some of you are going to be wondering why you can't, what's going on right now. But this is that day where we're moving all kinds of things around during the day to day. Not a lot of downtime, like complete downtime planned, but some is necessary. And then there will be some downtimes in just different parts of the world. It's got to propagate. It's got to move around the world. And so those are just some abnormal things that we don't normally have going on here that are going to affect, briefly, they're going to have some effect during today, move day, moving day, transition day. Oh, I hate moving. Thankfully, this is a digital move, and I mean, it's as big, if not way bigger than just a regular move, but yeah, like everything's in the, in the trucks, and we got to unpack all this and set it all up in our new place and plug it all in and blah, 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 blah. So we're moving. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for moving and coming along with us. And don't forget anything, don't forget anything as we move forward. Because as we move forward into this 2.0 experience, as we move forward together, well, there's no going back. So don't forget anything. We've got everything. Like anything that had anything to do with, like if you've had a daily audio Bible account and have used the app and have journaled and taken some notes and gotten badges and all that kind of, that stuff is following. All of that will come with you into the new system, into your account. That brings me to something to say about that. We're moving. Let's give it several days for us to kind of catch up with everything. There are hundreds of millions of data points that have to be migrated over. And so you may get the new app and you may be able to log into your account and use your, the account that you've had before, which you should do. And you may get in there and go like, well, not all my stuff is here. Yeah, just give it a couple of days. If that. But like I said, there's just hundreds of millions of data points. So it's going to take a minute for all of that. But over the next couple of days, we will be moved. Man, I'm standing here with my hands practically shaking. Like I'm holding them out. That's how nervous I am. Like I trust our team. I trust God. I trust our community, but it has been a journey, an adventure, and a lot of miles. So anyway, thank you for your prayers. That is what's happening today. I'm going to just assume we'll be wrapping that tomorrow, but the plan, the way that this goes is that pretty much everything is done. And when we get up tomorrow, we're in our new place. We got to move in. Get set up, but we're there. So thank you for your patience as we move. Looking forward to hearing from you. Looking forward to hearing from your feedback, and looking forward to you playing around and just discovering all that we've been working so hard and building here. And that'll probably become more and more apparent as the weeks go by, because this is a brand new start to a brand new thing. But anyway, today is that day. So whether you are on an Android phone or an Apple device or whatever, go to the app store that works with your device and look for the update. Update to the 2.0 app. And then there also is a web app that functions and looks and works just like the app that's in the app store, pretty much. And you can get to that from the website, dailyaudiobible.com. We'll talk more about that as we go. I'm trying to like make this in bite sizes, because this is like a really, really big deal. So anyway, today's the day. Pray for us. As a community, pray for all of us. It's almost, I don't want to too biblically metaphor this, but I guess in my own mind's eye, this is kind of like crossing the Jordan River. Like we're finally moving across. And so thank you for your prayers. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. I love that we made it this far together. I love that we're continuing to go forward together. I am grateful. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in Heaven, we come before you with hearts full of hope, even after all we face throughout our lives. We choose to believe that you are the Lord of our future, holding good things in store. Your divine plans promise us a future filled with hope, and we trust your benevolent design. We lean on your promise that your intentions for us are always good, giving us peace. Strengthen our faith, Father, so we may never cease to hope in your unfailing love and provision. May our lives reflect the certainty of the bright future you have prepared for us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Hey, family, this is Just Right for Jesus, and I just want to lift up our brother and sister in Christ, Jamie from New Jersey and Junk to Treasure. I just want to let you both know, you are both are so special and awe-inspiring to me, along with so many others who consistently never fail to keep calling in for this beautiful community. I don't call in near as much as you both do, or some of the other wonderful dabbers, but know this, I see your hearts and hear you all. I see the time you take out of your personal day-to-day life to lift up others in our community. I see the time you put in to make these from the heart calls, no matter how hard the personal struggle is, that you are both faithful to call in regardless of your own circumstances. I see the effort and attention to detail that you both put into your prayers. I hear the beauty of angels' voices speaking here on earth when I hear you speak. I see the overwhelming love you both have for this community and family. I see your free time taken as you spend your free moments thinking and praying for others, not indulging in your own self-interest. I see the light that you both shine so brightly in this community. I see the joy and honor you take in being able to pray over this special family. If I, a mere human, recognizes all these wonderful things about you two very special people, how much more so does God see you and understand you and appreciate your brilliant efforts? When you both meet Jesus, I truly believe with all my heart, he will be so proud of the commitment you have made to our brothers and sisters in Christ to keep calling in, regardless of circumstances. You both will get to hear the very special words, "Well done, my good and faithful child." I pray blessings of protection, prosperity, provision, and discernment over you too. I love you and I'm proud of you, but God loves you and appreciates you so much more. Keep being awesome. And just remember, family, if you don't feel right where you're at in life right now, just know you're always just right to come to Jesus. I love you. Keep pushing forward.
I just have this on my heart to say, because lately there's been a lot of urgent voices on social media calling people to act quickly, to decide now, to respond before it's too late. The tone feels loud and pressurized, more like a sales pitch than good news, and it leaves people anxious rather than comforted or loved. And this is where fear parts ways with Jesus. He never stood over people with urgency or threats. He came close instead. He sat beside, he stayed. When people were afraid, he didn't raise his voice. He reassured them. He met fear with calm, with presence, and with a gentle call to trust and rest. Fear not wasn't accidental. It was the shape of his voice. Repentance, too, has been made far heavier than Jesus ever made it. It's simply turning, humbly, saying, I was wrong and I need help. The moment we do that, God does what we cannot. Like filthy old clothes being lifted away, he dresses us in clean, new garments, not patched, but new. I picture a little girl in a white dress, twirling, safe, loved and free. This is grace. Not what we achieve, but what God gives. Love, not fear, is what draws us into his kingdom. We are called sons and daughters, not slaves. He is still gathering, he is still calling, he is still bringing people home. And he loves us so deeply that he would send Jesus to the cross just to get us there.
Hey, Dad fam, Kathy from Western New York here. I just have to call in. I have just listened to today's podcast read by Brian. It is April the 24th, and I've listened to it 3 times, and I'm going to listen to it again. Wow, Brian, when I was listening to you say, Simon, I got the chills as you were reading the gospel today, and I was there in the room at that Last Supper. I could cry just thinking about it. You read it in, oh my goodness gracious. Dramatic isn't even the word for it. It inspired, anointed. Wow, what a gift, what a treasure. But it doesn't end. You've been reading it like that at every section. The Psalms today became alive. Your exhortation at the end, you're talking about how it should impact us in our lives. I have to listen to that again. There were so many nuggets and so many treasures. And then to talk about how the new app is going to be aggregated and populated and all that whateverated. And oh my gosh, I am so excited. I feel so incredibly blessed. I just had to call in and say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. What a gift. What a gift. May the Lord bless you and continue to prosper you and your family and this gift. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth, and I am just amazed by the places that God has taken the DAB ministry and all the prayer warriors that I hear on here. They're just so encouraging. And also just Brian and Jill, thank you so much for just keep on plugging on with DAV. I love it. Been listening to it since 2012. I'm calling regarding a prolapsed bladder issue I'm dealing with. I have a few other health issues, but that one right now is pretty big. And I really need some prayer. The surgery sounds really horrible and does not have the greatest outcome. So truly, I just pray, please, please, pray for me that God will listen and hear the prayers and cause some kind of healing. Thank you so much to everyone, and God bless you.
Good day, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Natalie in Arizona. I just heard the April 24th podcast where Brian announced new details about features of the upcoming app that we'll have access to. It sounds like, if I'm not mistaken, we will have a scrolling feature. And I love this. We'll get to hear testimonials from family members. I'm so excited for this. Sometimes I find myself doom scrolling in various, mostly YouTube for me, but YouTube shorts. and just can spend so long in there. I think we can probably call it bloom scrolling in the Daily Audio Bible family space, because we will get to scroll and scroll away, listening to the testimonials, praising the Lord together. And I believe I understand we'll get to see videos of our family members and really get to know them on a much more intimate level. I'm so excited for this. Thank you, Heart and Family. Praise be to God. Here we go.